In a few minutes, the difference between the government's inflation and your inflation. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Multiple published reports suggest a very large merger in the health insurance industry could be announced this week. Anthem is close to buying Cigna for something in the $50 billion range. This would be a larger marriage than the one announced earlier between Aetna and Humana. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is here live. Mitchell, what do we know?
Well, the reports say that Anthem, which is based in Indianapolis, is in talks to buy Connecticut-based Cigna for around $48 billion. As you mentioned, Aetna is already trying to buy Humana. That's a deal announced a few weeks ago for $34 billion. So do the math. Five minus two, that is, equals three. And that is how many giant health insurers the U.S. will have left if both of these mergers go through.
Math is always hard. And why are we seeing this wave of consolidation now?
Well, the answer is mostly the Affordable Care Act. Health insurers are under pressure from that law to save money, make care more efficient, give every doctor's office an electronic medical records program, things like that. And they say that serving a bigger, broader national base of customers is the best way to do that.
All right. What about possible obstacles?
Yeah, there are going to be obstacles. The main concern of antitrust regulators who will have to approve these deals is the prospect of monopoly power. So, you know, they're going to be asking questions like, will having only three major health insurers limit competition? Will it drive up prices for employers and employees and people trying to buy insurance on the individual market? Will it give these companies too much pricing power in terms of squeezing hospitals and doctors' offices? You know, consumer advocates are likely to say, yes, definitely it will. The companies are going to say, no, definitely not. The regulators are going to have to sort it out.
Mitchell, thank you. Reuters just now reported that the Financial Times is about to get sold. Its source says the FT's owner, the publishing and educational conglomerate Pearson, is about to make an announcement. The question is, sell to whom? Speculation has swirled around the German media company Axel Springer or Bloomberg of New York. Today, the Greek parliament voted overwhelmingly in favor of a package of reforms demanded by the country's international creditors. This gets Greece closer to a $95 billion rescue financing. The reforms streamline Greece's court system and procedures for when a bank fails. The BBC's Chris Morris is in Athens.
After another long debate and plenty of angry exchanges, parliament approved the new reforms in the early hours of the morning. More than 30 MPs from the governing coalition voted against the measures. But crucially for the Prime Minister, Alexis Tsipras, the number of rebels was slightly lower than last week. Mr. Tsipras was defiant, telling Parliament that he didn't really approve of the deal that had been imposed upon him by the rest of the Eurozone. But he stressed that it was the only way to keep Greece in the single currency. Negotiations will now begin on approving the terms of a third bailout, with the aim of completing a deal by the middle of next month.
An analysis this week by the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco finds that the weak inflation the government keeps reporting isn't such a bad thing. The Fed has a target for inflation, and the country's been running under that target, which makes some worry. The economy's still too weak. Often when we do a low inflation story, people say, what do you mean my prices are going up? One of those people is our resident explainer, Patty Hirsch. Hello, Patty.
Hi, David.
So Chair Janet Yellen and many on her team at the Fed don't see much inflation to worry about at all.
Yeah. I wish I could say the same thing, right? So the cost of things in the Fed's basket of goods may not be going up, but prices are certainly rising in other areas and in the real world in which you and I live. For example, I got a new bill from my home insurer the other day. My insurance is up more than 5%. I asked why, and I was told inflation. Here's another thing that's going up, my cable and internet bill, and also the cost of x-rays for my teeth. So don't tell me that there's no inflation.
Now, I see what's happening here. You're not talking about goods exactly. You're talking about services. So we're talking about service, I don't know, inflation as opposed to goods inflation?
That's exactly right. So the best illustration of this gap that I've heard recently came from the Wall Street Journal. It relates to televisions, right? The price of TVs has plummeted over the last few years. In fact, TVs are now so cheap, I'm told, that thieves who break into homes don't even bother stealing them anymore because they can't compete on price with new TVs. So the price of the good, the television, is falling. But the price of the service, cable or satellite TV or internet service, that is rising. And it's not just non-essential services like these that are seeing price hikes. Rents are rising, healthcare costs are going up, education costs are going up. These are all necessities, and they are all getting pricier.
But why might the cost of services be rising at these rates compared to the goods?
So there are a couple of things. The first is that service companies compete locally or nationally, whereas goods producers often compete globally. So the people providing your cable bill simply don't have as much competition as the people who make your television. Less competition, of course, means more room to increase prices. And then there's the need to increase wages, right? We're running at about 5 or 6% unemployment right now, which is beginning to shift the balance of power to workers. So companies that want to attract and retain good people are finding they have to pay them more. But the pressure is greater on service companies that need workers with a skill set that commands higher pay.
All right, but rising prices for services hurts. You got to pay the bill. But rising wages sounds like a good thing for real people, if not for economists or somebody.
Yeah, they are, so long as they're not confined to the service sector. You know, ideally, you want a situation where goods manufacturers can price their goods a bit higher, grow a bit faster, and pay their workers a bit more, too. So when Janet Yellen talks about wanting to see some inflation in the economy, that's the kind of positive effect she's looking for, where growth lifts everyone up, not just people in one sector of the economy.
Patty Hirsch is the guy at the center of the frame in our online explainer series, The Whiteboard. Thank you, Patty.
Thanks, David.
We're also following breaking news that the European Union is investigating six Hollywood movie studios in an antitrust case. It's the big names from Disney to Fox to Warner Brothers. The EU doesn't like a deal the studios worked out preventing the satellite broadcaster Sky from showing movies outside the UK and Ireland. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.